brutal attack on society. And indeed, as brutal attacks on society go, last night in Manchester was as brutal as you'll get. The very young female fan base of a pop star targeted by a suicide bomber. 22 people, including children, killed and many maimed, others fighting for their lives. So how do we stop this happening? And indeed, how will Manchester cope? And could we be at risk here in Northern Ireland? Your opinions are very welcome on the programme this morning. 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. Those are the main numbers, and we do welcome your opinions.
It was distressing. I took my daughter of 11. This was her first concert. We went, we had a great night, and as Ariana Grande was singing her last song, which was Dangerous Woman, my daughter was tired and she needed the bathroom, and she said, can we just go outside now? And so we did. We went to the bathroom, and then we said, let's go now before the rush. So we walked towards where the car, where the MEN car park is, where we were parked, and there was a row of stewards stood in a line, stopping us getting through, but they were very friendly, and they said, this isn't your best way, girls, you're best turning round, and you can get to your car park that way. As I turn round, boom, one loud noise, for the first 10 seconds, it kind of, we thought about it and we just walked with haste. And then a gentleman said, run! So we ran and we walked down the, well, we walked quickly down the stairs. That's when people were flooding through the concert doors, and the sound was definitely coming from the main foyer. Where the guests normally enter through and present their tickets. On exiting the building, we then saw crowds of people and children devastated. We went to the car, which was 10 seconds away. As soon as we got to the car, you could smell the burning. Coming out then was quite a fluid operation. There were people around us. The children were devastated. We could see police running in front of our car, people, emergency services with huge red backpacks on them running into the building. But we did manage to get away, all within about 3 or 4 minutes. But it was devastating.
It's a mom called Jenny Brewster describing the horrific moments last night in Manchester at the Ariana Grande concert when this happened. Shocking, shocking scenes and death and devastation. Young people fighting for their lives in hospital in Manchester. A call for people to attend the hospitals, to give blood. And as well as that, we're also hearing a significant number of young people are having limbs amputated. Devastating, devastating news.
As you will appreciate, this is a fast-moving investigation, and we have significant resources deployed to both the investigation and the visible patrols that people will see across Greater Manchester as they wake up to the news of the events of last night. This will include armed officers, as people would expect, and more than 400 officers have been deployed on this operation throughout the night. To remind you, we were called at about 10:33 p.m. to reports of an explosion at the Manchester Arena. This was at the conclusion of the Ariana Grande concert. We then received more than 240 calls, and emergency services responded very quickly to the scene. Emergency numbers have been established for anyone who is concerned for their loved ones who may not have returned home. And these numbers are 0161 856 9400 or 0161 856 9900. We have been treating this as a terrorist incident, and we believe at this stage the attack last night was conducted by one man. The priority is to establish whether he was acting alone or as part of a network. The attacker, I can confirm, died at the arena. We believe the attacker was carrying an improvised explosive device, which he detonated, causing this atrocity. We would ask people not to speculate on his details or share names.
That's the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police, Ian Hopkins, speaking to the media. If you are just joining us, you are very welcome to the programme. A number of texts and emails are coming through, some of them absolutely fuelled by hatred of those who were responsible for the atrocity last night. And some of you do talk with hatred in your voices, or you type with hatred in your mind as you send the texts to us. And to be honest, I can't read. There's some of these I can't read out, but I will look at them. And you know, you're also blaming, some of you are blaming anyone who's in any way linked to the Islamic faith for this. And you know, you're even having a go at me. I'll read this one out, because this one's having a go at myself and other liberals. It says, well, here we go again, the religion of peace showing its true colours. Now, Frank, you and other liberals make hearts with your hands. You and other liberals make hearts with your hands and make excuses for the evil cult of Islam. He goes on to say, and you know this is not the last of it. The government should kick this scum out, and you liberals along with them. There's a guy who gives me his name and actually the company that he works for. I'm not going to read his name out, nor the company he works for, because, of course, it could be a pseudonym. However, he has sent it to us. I just wonder what's within your mind, because let's look at the 22 people who were killed last night, or the numerous who were injured or maimed last night. May some of these people be of the Muslim faith? Is there a possibility? There is a distinct possibility that victims last night were of the Muslim faith. So could you keep that in mind before you send us texts that are driven by hate and vitriol? Your opinions, however, are very welcome, as I say. They are welcome. And I would like to know how on earth we can stop these people. How can we manage to ensure that we're safe the next time we're at a pop concert anywhere in the United Kingdom? Can we be safe? Are we in a position where we feel safe? Or there's a guy called John who's saying you should listen to the words of Donald Trump and what he said in Saudi Arabia. They need to be wiped off the face of the earth. How do we wipe them off the face of the earth? And is that the way to go? Is that the way to react to people who do come and kill our children while they're enjoying themselves? Here's another stricken mom.
So describe to me where you were and where the bang was in relation to you, and describe what happened next.
We were at the front right and the bang seemed to come from the back left. And then suddenly just heard screaming, and everybody was running from the back towards the front. And it was just sheer chaos. People trying to get off the balconies. Mm-hmm. It was awful.
Jumping off.
What did you do?
Well, we sort of made our way to the side, and I was looking down thinking, well, if it's like Paris and there's anything else going on up there, I'm going to try and get off via the stage. So, yeah, we climbed over some seats and just got out, really, as quickly as possible.
So as soon as there was a bang, what did you think that bang was?
Well, I thought it was a bomb, to be honest. I sort of said it was a balloon, but it sounded like a bomb. And I've never heard a bomb before, but it was just so loud.
There was just something in your mind, was there, that this wasn't something, it wasn't the speaker,
yeah,
but
I mean,
there was something in your mind that thought this is...
A lot of people saying it's speakers, but it was at the back. The speakers would have been at the front, I would have thought, and it was just really loud.
What do you think about what's happened?
I mean, it's appalling that, you know, there were so many children there. It was just terrible. Everybody was so frightened.
Donald Trump has just described the bomber as an evil loser. Is there more to the bomber than being a loser? Evil. I don't think anyone's going to argue with whether or not someone who walks in with a backpack to a children's gathering and detonates a bomb. No one's going to argue about whether or not that person's evil. But is he a loser, or is he some sort of twisted, cruel, subhuman species that needs to be wiped off the face of the earth? I simply don't know. These are the questions that you're asking this morning. And how do we eradicate people like that? How do we bring them to justice? How do we stop them? 90 333 105, 077 66 105 105. I'm still scrolling through some of your opinions because you're just using language that I can't broadcast. But if some of you want to come on the air and talk, you know, in a balanced way about the tragedy of Manchester, please do join us. 90 333 105. I want to speak to a balanced voice, a calming voice, and a man who's seen tragedy here in this part of the world and tragedy recently in his new home city of Paris, Father Aidan Troy. Father Troy, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It is, even though to be expected, it's hard to believe that those children were attacked last night.
It's beyond anything that I think the human imagination, I don't say that lightly, can take in. I actually heard it this morning very early on French radio. My French not being perfect, I thought, I can't be hearing this right. There can't be, at that stage, 19 dead and children as young as 5 at the concert. So I obviously went on to an English station to hear. That is, I said Mass this morning at 8:30, and we, you know, reasonable congregation of all nationalities. And of course you had to speak, because we're living in a city where there's always that huge mix of Muslim, Catholic, Christian, no religion, atheist. And the challenge for us all is to know that, just as in the bad old days, the Troubles, you can't victimize one person's actions on everybody. And I think that's what I was trying to say this morning to the people at Mass.
Time and again on this programme, I have defended the Muslim faith from attack, from people who, I believe, lose the run of themselves when they contact the phone in. And this morning, they're at it again, calling me a bleeding heart liberal, and that it's down to the Islamic faith, and they must take responsibility for what they do. It's a very difficult message to get across, isn't it? Because I was making the point that we probably lost some of our Muslim friends in the attack, as happened in other cities. The Muslim faith, those of an Islamic persuasion, are indeed as blighted by this as anyone else.
Oh, without shadow of doubt, and I wouldn't be too disheartened, Frank. I don't know if we can get that across, and if I may pay what I think is a right tribute to people like you. Sometimes you're like a safety valve, even though it may not be right, even though it may not be helpful. I think there is a point at where outrage needs some outcome, and I've had people come up to me and say, "You like that again? You're preaching peace, reconciliation. Are you a complete fool? Do you not see what's happening?" Of course we see what's happening, but we know from our own bitter experience that there is no solution in lashing out at somebody else. I was at a function on Saturday night at a school where I'm chaplain, and like, there were people, Jewish, Muslim, all. And, you know, I know that's a rather contained situation, but it is the only way forward. And I think the hit out is the most understandable thing in the world. And I would not be condemning anyone for doing it, because people want to hit some way to say, this is not in my name. Now, I think when the emotion calms down, then people like you can talk. Hopefully, maybe even in my own little way here in Paris, I have met many Muslim people, and when they get talking, and the great thing, and I know you would say this to people, is when I go into a Muslim family, which I do, you sit down and you drink tea and you look into their eyes, we're all the same, and they have people of whom they're deeply ashamed. And unfortunately, I have to say, sometimes on our side, on the Christian side, in general in the world, I'm not talking about Belfast, in general in the world, we haven't always been lily white either.
We can't argue with that. What's inside the mind of that guy last night, however? It's evil, it is twisted hatred, it is subhuman what he's doing. How does a mind like that become so polluted?
I think that is the question, and of course, it is impossible for me. The biggest difficulty I see, Frank, is this, that God between us and all harm, and I say that in a humanitarian way as well, anybody in the past who had evil intent to destroy and to take life was always conscious of preserving their own life. The difficulty now is that the aim often is to make sure I go, give my life in a twisted sense of martyrdom, that I go with the destruction, and the greater the number I take with me, the better. It's very hard to stop that. You know, if somebody in evilness is going to plant a bomb, the one thing they're worried about is a premature explosion. But supposing, for instance, that person says, but the crowning glory is if it explodes and takes me with it, which is what always happens. And that's what makes it so difficult. To answer your question, Frank, I can't say I know, but I think I'm beginning to see more and more. And the people who phone in angry and giving out are right. There is, and I don't mean this just as a, in a sort of a, they'd say, well, a priest would say, there is actually palpable evil grown up in our world. And I don't know, all people of goodwill, not just religious people, but all people of goodwill, we've got to start almost like talking to the person next to you, because otherwise I think this is going to spiral out of control. And to that extent, the people who phone into you shouting and giving out, they are alerting us to the seriousness that this is not just an aberration. This is part of the fabric of worldwide society. And whether you're in Belfast or whether you're in Paris or whether you're in Manchester, God love them, we're all in this together, and we don't know where the next one's going to come. Now, that's not meant to scare. I've been through the Bataclan, I've been through the various ones, thank God now personally, but I've been with people who have been deeply injured, families in Nice. So we are in something where, and I'll say this, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, I think for those of us who believe, I think we need to pray an awful lot.
It may be something that people are doing at this very moment as they're hearing about this tragedy. Father Troy, really appreciate you speaking to us this morning. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, Frank.
Father Aidan Troy across in Paris, reminding us of the three atrocities that he's been a minister to those who have been bereaved and injured. And, of course, he had his experiences here in Northern Ireland as well. The spotlight this morning, however, is on Manchester. Our thoughts are with those people, those who have lost their children, those who have lost their relatives, those who are lying in hospital in agony, those who have been maimed, those who are having limbs amputated as we speak, all because of the evil intent of one twisted person. What can be done to stop people like that? Let me speak to Cathy, who's in the line. Morning, Cathy. Good morning, Cathy. Yes, good morning. Go ahead, Cathy.
I'd just like to start off with giving my condolences to the family and everybody basically involved in Manchester. What a horrific story to wake up to this morning. It's just, in this day and age, it's hard to believe that this is still happening. I'd like to just reiterate with the speaker that was on before myself. You know, it makes me very, very sad. I'm a 27-year-old girl from Belfast who is in a very privileged job to be able to work with incredibly sick children. You know, listening to the speakers this morning, people that are texting and phoning in, shaming everybody from an Islamic and Muslim faith. I'm in a very privileged job to work with many people in the current profession from so many different religions, and to shame everybody like that, I mean, it's just not right. And to hear the hatred that's coming through texts, you know, at the end of the day, hatred spiral, you know, evil comes from people and hatred. And if you look, thank God I wasn't alive, I wasn't born to go through the troubles here, but I mean, you know, that's where it spans from. Hatred comes from people that are shaming other people. I mean, the Muslim religion is a worldwide religion. The people that are texting in this morning, are they shaming children of a Muslim race? Do they believe that they're being brought up in hatred? Like, what are your views on this? I just think that's horrendous.
I think the ignorance that is to the fore in this day and age is beyond belief. And you do mention about not growing up through the troubles here. And whenever a terrorist act was carried out by a loyalist organisation, or when a terrorist act was carried out by a Republican organisation, the Catholics got targeted whenever the Republicans carried out an atrocity, and the Protestants got targeted whenever the Loyalists carried out an atrocity. And I mean targeted by, they were blamed. They were all seen as, that was done on behalf of you. It was your crowd that did that. And I constantly reminded people whenever the Republicans carried out a terrorist attack, they didn't do it on behalf of me as a Catholic. And when the Loyalists carried out a terrorist atrocity, I shared time with my Protestant friends and said, they didn't do it on behalf of you. And exactly the same in Manchester. That evil bomber last night did not do it on behalf of Muslim people who I know.
Exactly, exactly. And I mean, as I keep going on about my job, I'm in a very, I feel that myself, I'm in a very, very privileged position to be caring for some of the sickest children in Northern Ireland. And as I say, I work with so many people from so many different religions and races. And the only thing that brings us together is care and compassion. You know, all of us that are there for the same reason, that we want to care and bring care, excellent care, as they say, to so many children and families in Northern Ireland. It just makes me incredibly sad to hear people, you know, texting and phoning in. And to be honest, regardless of whether you have faith or not, I would like to think that my job gives me faith and makes it stronger. But, I mean, there has to be, people can't be so blinded, especially by people that have lived through the troubles of here. How can you be so blinded and so warped and so ignorant, as you say, to have tunnel vision and not see the goodness and humanity and people from so many religions all over the world? It just baffles me.
Okay, Cathy, thank you. Thank you very much. Indeed, you're throwing up some questions there, and people can have their opinion on what you are saying. I want to speak to Peter Murray, who's available to have a conversation with us. Peter, a very well-established journalist, lecturer at Manchester University as well. Peter, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Frank.
Peter, you're close to that security cordon in Manchester at the present moment. The feelings in the city, they must be so dark this morning.
I think I'm about, 200, 300 metres away from the venue itself, from the arena, and actually a couple of hundred metres away from the site of the IRA bombing here in the 1990s. So this is a city that has been touched by events like this in the past. So here at the cordon, there is a kind of visibly a police presence around the place and a number of other venues as I was coming towards here a short time ago. Definitely a sense of shock around the city. And I think the newly elected mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, I think will be making efforts to address that kind of sectarian concerns that there will be, that in this city, a very diverse city, a multicultural city,